Thank you, Lisa. Please turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. As we continue in our series in Matthew, we are in chapter 4, verse 23. Children, here are your questions for this morning. First, what was it that made so many people interested in Jesus? Two, can you list three things that are very important to know about Jesus? Three, do you think that everyone who was interested in Jesus knew who he really was? Four, what is the difference between just knowing who Jesus is and putting your faith in him? And five, have you put your faith in him? Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 23, this is the word of God. And when he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people, so his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. There ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this wonderful Holy Spirit-inspired account of Jesus' work here on earth. And Lord, as we come to this text and as we consider the person and work of Jesus, we pray that he would not at all just be an object of observation, but that he would be Lord, indeed, of our lives. Help us to see Jesus for who he really is. And Lord, in seeing, we would believe, and we would fall down, and then we would rise up and follow. Minister to us, Lord, now we ask. Send your spirit. Help the preacher. Help all of us who will hear. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shortly after Jesus' ministry begins, his notoriety begins to spread very quickly with a variety of people. What is it that Jesus is doing to gain such attention? What sparked such interest in Jesus? Needless to say, at least to you, that Jesus is not looking for fans. He's not looking for fans. He's looking for true followers. He's looking for true disciples. But nonetheless, his popularity begins to increase very rapidly once he gets out into the public. Someone said he waded into the masses, and as he wades into the masses, he drew people from far and wide. Now, I don't mean this at all irreverently, but in our terms, Jesus became famous. It's kind of awkward to say that because we know who he was, but he became famous. He became a celebrity of his day. And according to the patterns in the gospel that you read in all of them, his fame increases and the crowds that follow him increase all along the way. Now, it's not instantaneous. We know that John the Baptist already pointed out who he was, that some of John's disciples started following him, that others began to get the word, that attention began to build. But when we come to this point in Matthew, all of a sudden, great crowds are following Jesus. They're fascinated. Who is this? Who is this man? This is what Jesus did. It's stated very simply here. Jesus went out teaching in the synagogues. He went out preaching, which would be that public proclamation of the good news, and he went out healing. And so those three things are the mainstays of his ministry. That's what he did. He is a word and deed Messiah. And we'll see in the Gospel of Matthew that each of those is explained more fully. We'll look at miracles. We'll look at his teaching. But Jesus goes out into the world and he's doing his ministry. And it's no wonder that he got the people's attention, considering what he's doing. He goes all throughout the region of Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea from beyond the Jordan, and people start to follow him from everywhere. They're wondering at him, and most of them are probably saying at this point, what can Jesus do for me? What can Jesus do for my family? But whatever they were thinking, everyone, it seems, began to become very intrigued, and word spreads. Again, Jesus is not looking for fame. He's focused on the purpose he came. He came to seek and save those who are lost, to call them to surrender to him, to live for him, to follow him, and to be those who worship in spirit and in truth. Now, these people that are following him are quite a mixed bag. Primarily Jews, but undoubtedly some Gentiles. Jesus is in the Galilee of the nations, Galilee of the Gentiles. Mostly Jews. Not necessarily all poor, but some rich people as well. Men, women, and children. It's significant to know that children were among those who began to gather around Jesus. And they're hearing what he's saying, but they're seeing what he's doing. Picture this. Among the crowd are those who have been healed of diseases, some severe. People were bringing him the sick and the afflicted with various diseases, with pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. So what you would see in the crowd following Jesus are people who were paralytics, who he told to rise up and be healed. Those who were writhing with their epileptic fits, he delivered them. Those who were bound by demons, set free. And you were their neighbor, and they're next to you now, made whole by Jesus. You were their parent, and you saw your child healed of a horrible affliction that was not only a burden to them, but broke your heart day after day. This was an amazing crowd of people. But again, it's a mixed bag, isn't it? It's a mixed crowd. There are some already in the crowd that are hating Jesus. But even if we think about those who are called disciples, there will be some who will drop off. There will be some who will walk away. Remember Jesus' parable of the sower in the soils, that only a small portion of the gospel seed that was spread takes deep root. You see the wheat and the tares, indicating that there will be some in that which looks like the church, and that which is truly the church will be together until a dividing comes. You see that when people hear things that are too hard about following Jesus and faith in Jesus, when Jesus really presses them, that this has to do with real intimacy with the living Christ, when it has to do with real following, even in the face of challenges, in the face of persecution. When people begin to hear that, they begin to drop off. Those stark words of Jesus when he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." There are some who call him Lord who don't know him. We'll see the popularity of Jesus actually provoke his detractors. We see that rising up in the Gospels to the point where the Pharisees at one point look at each other and they say, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." His popularity becomes almost at fever pitch with the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where people are crying out masses along the way, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David." Fever pitch popularity. But he's arrested. And even Pilate gets it. Matthew tells us that Pilate knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. And this massively popular Jesus goes to the cross alone. And so, in these great crowds, there are many who seem to know him for a moment, certainly familiar with him, but it turns out they don't know him at all, at least a lot of them. But then there's faith. Then there's true, genuine faith. And at this point, they don't even have the full story like we do, but there are those and plenty of them who trust him, who rest in him, who follow him. The Holy Spirit has gripped their hearts in a deeper way. Those who are true believers in Jesus. The people of Jesus' day were face to face with the real Jesus. And it is the real Jesus with whom we all have to do. It's the real Jesus that we must all face. And when we face Jesus, when anybody faces Jesus, when anybody hears about the true Jesus, there has to be a reaction. If I dare to use the term, you have to decide what you will do with this Jesus. Who is this Jesus? He's the same Jesus then as he has been throughout history, as he is today. The writer of Hebrews says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about this same Jesus. But who was he? Well, here in this place and time, we understand that he would have appeared to everyone who met him visibly as just another man. We know that he came in the flesh, and we know that he's a true historical individual, that from conception to death, he really was on this earth, the incarnate Son of God. And he had a ministry, and he really did go to the cross, and he really did die, and he really was buried, and he really did rise up from the dead. We understand the historical Jesus. Only fools try to pretend there was no historical Jesus. But we also know that this same Jesus, in this mysterious, miraculous way, is also transcendent God. That he was before. He is the I Am. That he has always been and always will be God. And here's the amazing thing. This Jesus, this historical transcendent Jesus, is knowable. You can know him. In fact, if you're a Christian, you do know him. You really know him. You can genuinely say, I know Jesus. He knows me. He knows me fully. I know him as Savior and Lord. And someday my understanding of who he is will continually unfold and unfold and unfold. But for now, I can say, you can say, Christian, that you know Jesus. Not like you might want to know some celebrity. We all want to know some celebrity. How many of us think about the most famous person we've ever met? Who's the most famous person you've ever met? It's funny how all of a sudden, if we meet them, we want to act like we know them. Some of my children and I just had the privilege of meeting members of a band that we all really like a lot. And I noticed that after we met them and had our pictures taken with them, all of a sudden in conversation, well, we used their names on a first name basis. It was John and Tim and Chad and Jerome and Drew. Thought that was kind of funny, but you want to kind of pretend you know them. But knowing Jesus is so much more than that. So much more. It's a real knowledge. Knowing him is believing in him and trusting in him and communing with him in the Spirit. And to know him more, we study his person and we continually speak to him. Knowing him is truly believing in him as the Jesus as he's shown to us in Scripture and as he lives today. Jesus himself says, I am the resurrection. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives, believes in me, shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And we read, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples. This is John's gospel, and why he wrote it, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. He is the Jesus that we know. He is the Jesus that we have. He is the Jesus that people need. But he's not the Jesus, sadly, that most people know. He's not the Jesus that most people know. I don't want to be at all irreverent, but for most people, Jesus is some kind of celebrity. That's what their knowledge boils down to. Jesus is very popular. Some in the world may not have heard about Jesus, especially where there's been a lot of oppression of Christianity, but most people in the world have some knowledge, at least know and have heard the name of Jesus. They know something of him. Jesus hasn't changed at all, but their views of him are very distorted. He's denied, he's reimagined. But in case you don't think Jesus is very popular, think about how fascinated people are with him. But it's not the real Jesus. There have been a lot of famous people throughout history, around the globe, but none are more famous than Jesus. Inside and outside of the church. Name recognition like no other. But think about, and I'm going to belabor this just for a little while, think about just how popular, how famous, what a celebrity he is. His imagery is everywhere. And before I even say anything, I'm not going to elaborate on violations of the second and third commandment regarding Jesus, but simply think of this. Think of the imagery of Jesus, the statues of gold and marble and wood and plastic and cement. Who can't envision the picture over of Christ over Rio de Janeiro, the picture of that statue that's almost 100 feet tall, The arms span almost 100 feet wide. Images of, so-called images of Jesus everywhere. Paintings, fluorescent velvet posters, trinkets, trinketry, kitsch. Jesus on dashboards. We don't see that around here that much, but I've been in communities where I lived where you would see little plastic Jesuses on dashboards and on the back windshield, looking out of the back windshield, and right there along with the Marys and all the little saints. Jewelry worn by Christians and pagans. Tattoos of Jesus. He's notarized or known in plays and musicals. He's written into sitcom scripts, usually in a blasphemous way. His name's thrown around everywhere. You don't have to spend much time in the world, do you, before you hear Jesus' name? It's very popular and continually blasphemed. Oh, he's famous, all right. Jesus depicted as lily white or depicted as black, as macho or feminine, gentle, a sage or crazy, depicted with honor and disgrace, embraced by all kinds of false religions who distort him and cults, not to mention crucifixes and crosses everywhere. And we could go on. The communist Lenin, L-E-N-I-N, hated Jesus. But there's another Lenin of note, John Lennon. If you don't know who he is, he was the main guy in the Beatles. In 1966, he had said something to a friend of his, an acquaintance of his, actually someone that he trusted, and he was having a conversation, and he said something like, "Isn't it amazing that Jesus, or I'm sorry, the Beatles are more popular than Jesus?" And that statement was taken and made, a word that wasn't in use in 1966, that was made viral. And John Lennon was scandalized, and everybody was coming after him and yelling and screaming, and he's on newscasts, and the Beatles are trying to defend him, and he's trying to defend himself. And he said outright that he regretted what he had said, and it was taken out of context, and it's not what he meant. Even the KKK got involved in protests against John Lennon. Wow, what a twist. The KKK defending the name of Jesus. Anyway, that's beside the point. But here's the thing. Here's the tragic thing. There was truth in what he said. He might not have really, the Beatles might not have been more popular than Jesus. That's ridiculous. But certainly they had gripped the hearts and the passion and the zeal and the affection of many, many, especially teenagers in that day, most of whom would have known the name of Jesus, but who became passionate followers of the Beatles? Well, whatever the case is, whether they're images, notoriety, written into this, written into that, name spread, religions, it all cheapens who Jesus is. Because there is a dramatically vast difference between celebrity and Savior. Anything that cheapens Jesus is not only tragic, it's empty, it's blasphemy. Certainly our culture, in our culture, Jesus is a very familiar figure. Vast majority of people have some concept of Jesus, but it's distorted. What do they do with Jesus? They might be flippant. They just don't care. They have spiritual disinterest. Maybe they're so worldly minded that the idea of following Jesus seems ridiculous. Some try to deny, like I said before, bizarrely deny that he even existed in history. That's just ridiculous. But many, many, all who don't believe, at least to some degree, are going to deny his claims of who he is. And certainly, all who reject Jesus simply cannot buy his demands to believe and follow him. Some, here's how popular he is. Some who hate him, who despise his name, work hard all the time to try to suppress his name, regularly working to get rid of the name and any image, any reference to Jesus. Ironically, many of these same people would not hesitate to use his name in vain and blaspheme it. There are many who hate Jesus and hate his people very openly. But there are also many who have what we might call a certain affection for Jesus. And when I say affection, I don't mean the deep kind of affection that Jonathan Edwards talks about in his work, Religious Affections. But what I mean is a sentimentality. I had that myself. For years, having heard about Jesus but not being a Christian, and then being a product of the 70s, being exposed to, I'm embarrassed to say, and I know I've said this before, to a rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar, that did nothing to promote Jesus as Lord and Savior, but it did everything to promote Jesus as a pitiful figure who deserved our affection. That's just one example, but many people have an affection for Jesus. But whether it's through images or statues or whatever it else might be, a reimagination of Jesus, none of those will not satisfy for sin. Plastic, gold, bad art, good art, reimagine whatever, will not satisfy for your sin, and it will not bring peace to your soul. Only true faith will, and that is the only appropriate response to who Jesus is. Once the darkness is lifted, once the veil is lifted, and an individual, by the work of the Holy Spirit, opens the eyes to Jesus, and all the images and all the imagined things about Jesus and all the veils that are put up in front of Jesus are ripped away and put away and vanish, and we see the real Jesus, there's only one response, and that is to fall down and worship him. And then to get up and follow him and never stop worshiping him. True faith knows Jesus. True faith communes with Jesus, trusts in Jesus. True faith gets up and follows Jesus. However, Catechism asks that question, what is true faith? True faith is a sure knowledge whereby I accept as true facts all that God has revealed to us in his word. That's where we find out about Jesus. At the same time, it's a firm confidence or assurance that not only to others but also to me, God has granted forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation. Out of mere grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. This faith, the Holy Spirit works in my heart through the gospel. That's the faith that you have. But here's one more little added thing. We know Jesus. Who better to introduce other people to Jesus than those who really know him? Don't be afraid to talk to people about Jesus. Don't be afraid to take that big swallow if you're having a conversation with somebody about where they're at in their life, in their religion, or wherever. Don't be afraid to just put it out there and say, yes, you told me you know Jesus, you know about Jesus, but tell me, what do you think about Jesus? Tell me what you know about Jesus. And go from there, because you know Jesus and can tell them what they may not know. And you can tell them about the true Jesus. The true Jesus who is alive and who saved your soul and with whom you walk and commune. So many have, praise the Lord, come to know Jesus. You know him. You're living for him. One day everyone will know. It will be far beyond celebrity, far beyond fame, far beyond popularity. Everyone will know who he is. Everyone. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, if we were to simply chew on the truth that we are not only known by Jesus, but that we know Jesus, we would have a full and rich devotion, a true feast, and the feast of your gospel of the Lord Jesus. We thank you so much that you have allowed us to see who he is, that you've taken away our blindness, you've taken us out of darkness, you've lifted the veil that hid Jesus from us, and you've shown us that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by your Holy Spirit, you have allowed us to surrender, to believe, to fall down and worship, and to get up and follow. What great mercy, what amazing love. We give you thanks in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.